and that's all right. Now, on that chart that we had up there the last couple of weeks, we had some warning spots on there. We were warning about, God's warned us about the Bible, He's warned us about people. I've changed that chart just a little bit. I have family instead of people up there. Our family consists of people, and as us Christians, get a little watered down to whatever is happening to modern Christians, it all takes place within the family. So I changed that to family. We already know that the Bible's in big trouble, amen. I mean, it's not even an issue anymore. With most people you talk to, they don't even know that anything's going on. Well, we sure can be thankful that the word of the Lord endureth forever, and that it's settled in heaven, because it sure is hard to find down here. I've been reading some more stuff on the King James Bibles published by Nelson and Zondervan and Holman and all these publishers out there, and they're printing King James Bibles. It is a King James Bible. They don't say it's not a new King James or anything new and revised. It's just a King James Bible. But they're messing with it on the inside. There's words that are not capitalized anymore, like spirit. There's some spelling words that are, I mean, you can spell some words differently, as we know the 1611 has been done with the language and all that stuff. But they're changing meanings of words with spelling changes and little bitty things that are going on in those Bibles. It really is getting to where you cannot buy a King James Bible from a publisher other than a local church type thing. And I wish we had a couple $100,000 to have a printing ministry. We got the ruins back. I've always said that. I wish we could somehow be involved with printing the Bible. But that has never come about, so I guess we just need to be involved in publishing it with ourselves and talking to people about it. Maybe the website's enough. But if you have a Bible put out by Zondervan or Nelson or something like that, you can ask me later. I'll show you some. We can check some things on that thing. Matter of fact, Cambridge, you know, the only one left was Cambridge. Oxford was the one that started the whole thing, I guess. Oxford or Cambridge, I forgot which one. I think it was Oxford. And they've gone kaputs when it comes to King James Bible. Now Cambridge is putting out some changes in their Cambridge Bible. And Gail Rippinger, who we used to get all of our Cambridge Bibles from, she's withdrawn selling the Cambridge Bibles because they're messing with them. It's getting really hard. It's getting really hard. So we know the Bible is in trouble. It always exists, but just mostly it's not going to be in homes of people anymore. We know the family's in trouble, amen? We just do. We know that the roles of the husband and wife are not only being reversed, they've been reversed. We know that the whole issue about same-sex marriages and all that is a big deal. I mean, here President Bush is going to try to stick this into his state, whatever he's going to do Tuesday night. Is that State of the Union or whatever? Is that what that is? And he's going to try to stick up for the Institute of Marriage, institution of marriage, but yet he has queers all over the White House. So there's a contradiction there, and people won't be aware of that, so whatever. You know, we know that Isaiah 3 talks about, as for my people, the Lord says, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. So we know that there's problems within the family. And there's all sorts of verses. I'll skip all that sort of thing. It's more for the website, I guess. And we know that even the body of Christ is in trouble. And it's not that we're not without spot. We're not. We're clean. Amen. We're just clean. But still, the trouble that exists with the body of Christ is the fact that we're rejecting fellowship with the Lord. And so even though we're part of his body, we are like an appendage that we can't control. It's just doing what it wants. We're kind of, I guess I make a good sermon sometimes, spastic Christians. You know, they may be attached to the body of Christ, but they are doing some pretty strange things. So, we're not surprised with that sort of thing here. It says even in Judges, which I think is good application today, most people are doing that which is right in their own eyes. Isn't that the argument you come up with? You sit down and you talk to somebody, it pins it down to the Bible. They may or may not admit it directly, but they have to admit somehow that they're kind of doing what they think is right. That's what we do. We do what we think is right. And we learn as we go, and then we find out that what we thought was right wasn't right. We still do it anyway because we want it to be right. God finally gets on and says, you know, this isn't right. I know. Okay. Then the little victory comes in there. Well, what I'm still trying to talk about more than anything here is the church. We're still examining the church, the local church. Now, Without going through all the page flipping, I'll see if you recognize any of these verses here that just talk about the local church. I'm talking about this thing right here, the little assembly that everybody has all over the country, the churches that they all attend. God labels the church these days as lukewarm. Where's that at? Revelation 3. He talks about that there is a fall. There must be a falling away, and we see the falling away. That's in where? That's in Thessalonians. People cannot endure sound doctrine. Where's that at? Timothy chapter 4. Christians are departing from the faith. Timothy chapter 4. There are more and more false Christs and false prophets showing up with their false message. Another Jesus, another spirit, and it's the spirit of Antichrist. Well, that's Galatians 1. That's 1 John 1, chapter 3, 1, 2, and 3. That's Matthew. Matthew 24, I think it is, about false Christ. We know that more and more of the church family are bearing with the false teachers. That was Paul's biggest concern. He was so afraid that the people that he'd won to the Lord would still turn and follow somebody else. That's in Corinthians. The old men of God are sitting under the oak tree lying to the young Bible students. Where's that at? That's in 1 Kings chapter 13. Remember the old prophet, the old guy? And he says, come on to my place. And God said, God told me not to go there. And then that whole story. And I've been looking at that the last couple of days, and I'm seeing these old preaching guys that are starting to get people in their churches. They're coming kind of like mini mega churches. And what they're doing in their institutes and what they're doing in their colleges and stuff, especially the obvious ones, they're the old guys, the old men of God, they're lying to the young people. That's what's going on. That is a marvelous application of 1 Kings chapter 13. Christians are turning their backs on God. That's in Ezekiel chapter 8. And I hope you remember this one. Christianity is turning to the east for replenishment. Where's that at? Anybody remember that? We have got to be able to remember that. That's Isaiah chapter 2, verse 6. Turning to the east for replenishment. That's when God forsook the people. And America, we have turned to the eastern doctrines. It's in the New Age Bibles. Modern Bibles are full of Eastern theology. We are turning to music, the New Age thing. We're turning to feelings. That's the New Age thing. That's Eastern. And the most obvious one of all, who gets all the freedom in the world when it comes to religion these days? The Islamic crowd. They can say, do anything they want, and all they got to do is claim discrimination, and they'll get what they want. So, and then when Bush up there says, yes, their God is the same as our God, we are being turned to the east. So, you know, whatever that stands for, we know where we stand as a country. But really, what God is telling us there, that's where His people are turning. Why would Christians turn to the east? Go down to the bookstore and buy a bunch of books from the bookstore. You're finding yourself turning to the east. I was told the other day about a book called Boundaries. I don't say anything to the ladies, but if any of you men see somebody give your wife a book called The Boundary, you get rid of that book and you throw it away. I'm going to try to get a hold of one of those things and find some quotes, but I already know that it's destroyed 3 marriages already. Because it tells a woman to get a hold of your life as a Christian, and here's what you need to do. And I guess it's a hit in a lot of the mega Baptist churches. It's like that one book that we had talked about. Remember, what was that called? Fascinating Womanhood, which is very subtle. But this one is direct. It just tells you. Your husband doesn't know what he's doing. He needs to get it together. And if he doesn't get it together, you have a life. You need to get a hold of this thing and get going for God. And I imagine there's more to it than that. But I know 3 marriages, I guess, now that have fallen apart based on that book. When that wife got a hold of that book and read it, and away things went. It's a mess. The church is a mess. Families are a mess. But you're still in Matthew 28? Okay. If we'd have had some visitors here this morning, or some people from outside the family as such, and you have some family members or some relatives or some workers or whatever, and you were to talk to them about what I just said, you know, the state of Christianity or whatever, most of them would disagree with you. They would say that, what do you mean? Since 9/11, we've been having revival. Look at all the people going back to church. Look at the movies that are coming about Jesus Christ. And they're popular. It's not some little two-bit thing that we used to watch when we were kids about Christmas. These are popular Hollywood movies. Left Behind, The Passion of Christ. There's a revival going on in their eyes. There really is. They think things are doing really well. America is more Christian now than it ever has been. And the thing that they don't see, the thing that we don't see, is we don't see them trying to fix something that's gone wrong. They believe that they are finally coming to the truth. America has finally come to what is right as far as a God loving everybody and a religion based on that sort of a thing. If we were to look at it real closely, we would see angels of light. We would. If we look at it real closely, we would see ministers of righteousness belonging to the devil. If we look at it closely, we see all sorts of tricks and gimmicks to try to get people to come to church, and it is what? Working. It is working. So here we are, we try to come along and say something is wrong with what to them is working. Kind of an awkward place to be in. And usually it's us who back off and just let things go the way they go. And we have to be careful with that thing. I got a list of things. Maybe I'll still go over these things a little bit here, I suppose. Remember a while ago I talked about the Alpha program, ALPHA? That represents their Alpha thing stands for anyone can get involved, no barriers or denominations. Well, anybody can come here. Right? That's not us, but that's such a big deal. Learning and laughter. We have a good time learning, don't we? They put their gear on the laughter thing and on the fun element of it. I mean, some of this stuff probably isn't, you got to sit here for an hour and a half or whatever. That's probably not fun. It was really fun driving from Portland to here, just sitting in the car. It was a lot of fun. No? Okay. That's the L. P stands for pasta or pasta, whatever. Talks about food. They bring people in with food. We like to eat. That's not a problem. H of Alpha stands for help. We're willing to help anybody. That's not a problem. And then A at the end again stands for ask anything. Who's stopping people from asking us questions about whatever? We'll be glad. We'll be glad to answer anybody's questions. And matter of fact, we'll do something that they don't do. We'll tell them the truth based on the scriptures. They won't tell them the truth. If they use scriptures at all, it's wrongly divided, wrongly applied. It's all based on the book of Acts. Well, anyway, that's the Alpha thing. And really what's going on in the churches in America today, that whole Alpha thing is just kind of fitting in everybody here. You know that Alpha program has speaking in tongues, and it's being put into Baptist churches and Lutheran churches and Catholic churches and Methodist churches and the gang. I just can't picture some of our older friends that are in Baptist churches, or even my church back home in the Lutheran church. What are they doing bringing in the tongue speaking? That in itself ought to be enough to shut down that program. But it's not. Anyone can get involved. Learning and laughter, food, help us, and ask anything we want. Sounds fun to me. Be glad to come here. Well, you know that they're emphasizing a spirit. That's the speaking in tongues crowd. Emphasize the spirit. And Jesus Christ himself says the Holy Spirit's going to teach what? What he says. What Jesus Christ says. So the Holy Spirit's going to lift up the Lord, not itself. That's too easy. So we know that the spirit that this whole modern Christianity has today is the spirit of Antichrist. Again, that goes back to 1 John chapter 3. You know, all these movies and all these programs and churches, these people are offering changed lives. What's wrong with that? There's some things that people need to change, amen? There's no doubt about that. But what needs to be changed? Their soul. That's the change that needs. That doesn't take place in their teachings there. They bring them onto neutral ground, they talk about. Now, these are some of the comments from that movie, The Passion of Christ. Well, neutral ground is not much of fighting ground. We're supposed to contend for the faith. Now, if we can get on somebody's neutral ground, get into somebody's house, whatever, that's fine and dandy. But that's not our goal. Our goal is just to tell people the truth. When God opens that door, just one little bitty crack, right? We don't have to put a nuke in there. But we can try to get in there. Talk about that someday. They're trying to get people to wear the cross. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to get off the cross. We need to get on it in order to get off it. But once you get on it, it's time to get off it. And all these modern Christians, all this modern teaching, these churches, they're trying to get people to get on the cross. You notice that? That's that move again, the Passion of Christ. They want people to experience Christ's sufferings. Well, it'll change your life. It truly will. But it won't change your soul. And that's why people wear the cross. I'll do a thing one of these days. I was going to do it at the Odd Fellows Tuesday. I just didn't. About what's wrong with the old rugged cross. The song, the old rugged cross. I'm going to probably maybe I'll see if God had me do it this week or not. But what's wrong with that song? Look at that thing sometime and see what you think. You know, the cross. I mean, if nothing else, who wears the cross? Everybody. Even the Christians, even the Catholics, even the non-Christians, even the wicked bunch, even the Satanists. Something's wrong if everybody wants to wear that cross. There's something's not right with that whole thing. So that's something for you to think about here. We don't want to wear the cross. We need to get off the cross. Rise, the Bible says. Modern churches today are emphasizing water baptism for salvation or church membership. They're getting into healing, speaking in tongues, believing new revelations, hearing new prophecies, seeing God in visions and hearing God in dreams. Amen. Some people even claim to hear His voice. I do. But I don't hear it in the middle of the night. Hey! You know. Holy Spirit works. These modern new churches today, they offer a message, but no specific inspired, preserved, inerrant words. I'm getting to a point here. You'll see this. Probably none of this is new to you. I'm setting you up here, though. They teach the Gospels. They teach the book of Acts. And some of them do even get into Hebrews in the middle of Revelation, but they get in there mixed up. Got a bunch of verses here from Jeremiah that talks about liars and the pulpit and everything like that. We don't need to do that this morning. We know we're going to that sort of thing. Anything new to you yet, I said? I don't think so. I hope not. I hope that you're able to respond to some of that with some people sometime. Be glad to show you some verses to help you. But I will say this, summarize this whole thing before we jump into Matthew 28, which is the goal this morning. People have turned away from sound doctrine by personalities instead of preachers. We're going to bring some magazines up here. You know how they advertise Bible colleges and stuff now in churches? By the picture of the pastor. And they tell about this guy. John MacArthur. I should have brought that up here. Describes this marvelous human being. You know, not telling the fact that he doesn't believe that the blood of Christ had anything to do with your salvation. People don't know that. He thinks he's a marvelous guy. So people are going to churches now because of the personalities of the preacher, the song leader, maybe even just the people. Should we make a tract for the Tushy community? And let's put my picture on there. Pastor Mike Paulson, a man with a heart. You know. A man without an education. You know. All this kind of stuff. Is that what people are looking for? Personalities. Prophets instead of pastors. Modern prophets instead of pastors. Prophets instead of works of faith and sacrifice. Prophets, money. Money's a big deal. Psychology using modern Bibles and best-selling books instead of obedience to the Word of God. We'll talk about that here one of these nights, about psychology. Parties instead of prayer meetings. I'm hoping that one of these days we will see the need for prayer meeting and do some praying together here. Hollywood-style prophecy instead of biblical prophecy. And all a guy's got to do is compare those movies to this Bible, and you want your money back. You should want your money back. Actually, shouldn't have even gone. Unless you're looking for some ammo. Whatever. You know, whatever. And polluted praises after the flesh instead of godly praises after the Spirit. And if you want to be real picky, we're looking at polluted praises in the flesh. Not praises after the flesh. So that's what's going on in churches today. Doesn't that sound exciting? And maybe our young people are sitting here going, well, what do you got to offer instead? We'll talk about that tonight. Right now I'm going to show you, turn to Matthew, already in Matthew chapter 28. There's something that I have seen recently that I believe is the actual source of all this new modern church junk. And this is bringing in the Baptists. This is bringing in the Bible-believing Baptists. This is bringing in the Hiles crowd. This is bringing in some of the Ruckman crowd. This kind of ties everybody together in this particular thing, and it's called the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28. I believe that the concept of the Great Commission is actually the source of all the junk going on in churches today. All the emphasis being put on the church, the local church. Now, pretty much this morning, when I talk about church, I'll be talking about the local assembly. Remember the chart up here? It had the King James Bible. Holy Spirit works through the King James Bible. Then it goes down and goes on. In fact, we're part of the body of Christ. Actually, the body of Christ, the members of Christ. And then you go down to the next thing, and that's the church, the local church. There are two different churches: the specific body of Christ church, everybody, and then us-ins. And I probably already have lost some people on the internet if they listen to this thing, because I'm going to attack the Great Commission this morning. And there's a lot of good preachers, a lot of good pastors, there's a lot of good people, there's a lot of good churches, there's a lot of active churches, there's a lot of successful churches, there's a lot of churches that have good members and they mean well and they do well and they have good facilities and they're out there, got missionaries and the whole thing, and yet they talk about the Great Commission. And you probably have even been preached here a number of times about the Great Commission, how important that it is, and how that is the charge that God has given us to go out there and win the world to the Lord. And that's it. How many have heard that, Great Commission? You've heard this, haven't you? Okay. Now, some of you might even be sitting there and say, boy, preacher, you better show me what you're talking about, because I think the Great Commission is just what it says. It's the Great Commission. And for the sake of a title here, I call this thing the Greater Commission. God has given us a Greater Commission. But before we talk about the Greater Commission, let me show you just a couple things about the Great Commission here this morning and see what you think. Matthew chapter, let's look at these. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much again this morning, Lord. That long introduction, Lord, I hope just showed me and showed everybody in here that we are so thankful, Lord, that we're not getting caught up in the modern trends and the gimmicks and the emphasis being put on that local church to try to get people in there. I know, Lord, that people were going to say that if we can just get them in, we'll preach them the truth. But Lord, I've seen that even when they get them in, they're still not preaching the truth, because now they want to keep them. And I pray, Lord, that you continue to guide us and bless us, not only just financially, but with people seeking the truth, people willing to learn, people willing to be corrected, people willing to be instructed in the paths of a new righteousness, Lord, your righteousness. Help us, Lord, want to change our walk and change our lives, as well as change our souls. And I thank you this morning, Lord, for preparing this to me. I pray, Lord, that you would... Holy Spirit this morning would impress in our hearts the truth of this thing. And not that we're going to do much different, Lord, but it helps us understand our little church family here. And Lord, we want to worship you in spirit and in truth. And I hope that this truth just adds to our worship to you here this morning. I thank you for those that did make it. I pray, Lord, that right off the bat this morning here, Lord, that we will still have everybody come back. This is a family message. And Lord, we need to be able to talk to people about not only what's wrong, but for sure what's right when it comes to church. And help us this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we heard what's going on in the past. Let's look at this Matthew 28, in the present, I mean in churches. Matthew 28, 16. I go back to 14. I don't know why I got 16. There's 14 is pretty much where it comes about. I mean, we won't look at this thing terribly closely. You can ask me questions about it, and I'll show you some more things, unless I just get into it here. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. Now, look at verse 12, just to set this thing. Now, they've already had the road to Emmaus. Okay, you see that? He's already done all that. There's a little bit of issue here when this thing takes place. I'm sorry, you're Matthew, aren't you? I'm in Mark, that's why. The conflict is people will look at Matthew and they'll look at Mark and they say, look, there's two different, it's being said at two different places. So what? Okay, you know, that's not really an issue that stops us from being what it is. There we go, verse 16, and that is right. Oh, boy. Sorry about that. Then the 11 disciples, right? Okay, sorry, Sue, I've been checking on you lately here. I got to keep looking down here for you. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, But some doubted. Isn't that weird right there? That's a whole other sermon right there. Some doubted. And who are we talking about here? Just the big 11. Oh, that's just strange stuff. And Jesus came and spake unto them, underline, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Underline. And lo, there's that angel again, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now let's go to Mark, where I started off there and kind of botched that whole thing. Mark chapter... We might as well throw in verse 14. It just kind of helps set the flavor, I guess, a little bit here. And see what I was trying to talk about earlier here. This one is taking place after they'd done the road trip and done Emmaus and everything. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11, there it is again, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them of their unbelief and hardness of heart. Now, what we find out Wednesday night, what another word there that the Lord goes through when somebody has to be upbraided because of their hardness of heart. What does the Lord do during that? He grieves. Remember that Wednesday night? Wednesday night we talked about grieving the Holy Spirit. We can quench the Holy Spirit and all this kind of stuff, but if we have any feelings whatsoever, we have to remember that we grieve the Holy Spirit too. And here's the place where it says Jesus Himself, He's talking to His top 11, amen? And He sits and He talks to them and He has to upbraid them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. Some of these guys came back and said, hey, He's risen. And they go, I don't think so. And hadn't He already told them that He was going to do all this? They just didn't believe. Haven't you had somebody, you heard a sermon and you've heard it preached and this is wrong or this is right or whatever, and then somebody goes off and does it anyway, do they not see what the Scriptures say? Have you not told your children something one or another and then they just go off and do it anyway? And they even get hurt. And it's like, why didn't they get it? I told them that's exactly what would happen. And they went and did it anyway. So we experience that. Do we not sometimes grieve for them too? Because I grieve when I hear that people went off and done some stuff that they probably ought not have according to the sermons or preachings, whatever. And I grieve because I think sometimes, you know, this must bother them on the inside. Do you grieve for your children? Yes, because if they don't get this obedient thing down at all, they're going to have a hard time with the job. They're going to have a hard time as a parent. come back and reap what you sowed. You grieve for them. And when your kids get older, do you not grieve for them? I mean, they made some dumb decisions. Have you not made some dumb decisions? Yes, you've made some dumb decisions. But don't you still grieve for them? Why do they have to go and... Didn't I do better than that? Probably not, but still, you grieve for them. And even if there's some of that hardness of heart and just flat unbelief, that's grievous. So that must be what the Lord's going through here as well in verse 14. But anyway, back to the subject here of the Great Commission. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord has spoken unto them, He is received up into heaven, that'd be Acts chapter 1, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went, who's they? Okay, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Well, if we were to do that, then I'd have to say the Great Commission's being fulfilled. Who's doing that stuff? The crowd out there, the modern Christianity crowd, is what gets into this thing, these things up here. So if we're going to support the Great Commission, you just read it. Amen? we would have to accept what's going on. There are people being healed. They're on TV every night. There is tongues being spoken now in all the churches. Not just the Pentecostal crowd, Catholic, Lutheran, Baptist, they're starting to bring that tongue-speaking thing into all these different churches. If I was a teenager right now, I'd be sitting there thinking, you know what? I think we're wrong here. He's right. They are doing that stuff. My friends are doing these things. Here's my conclusion. Don't get excited. It's a pre-conclusion. The conclusion should be over here. The Great Commission preaches crucifixion. But our Greater Commission preaches life beyond the cross. This Great Commission, you may not still understand the depth of this whole thing or the importance of this whole thing. The Great Commission, really, in all applications, is a Baptist thing. Big time. Big time. I just forgot about bringing up the magazines and stuff. There's one magazine I got, a newsletter, news book magazine that we get from the Baptist churches, and this guy is talking about how we equipping our church to fulfill the commission, the Great Commission. Another one says, are we building the kind of buildings we need to build to fulfill the Great Commission? And this is happening. I mean, that big place down there in Chicago, in Hammond, Indiana, is because they're fulfilling the Great Commission. Well, they don't do some of these things, but they do some of them. You know? Well, let me mention this to you here. If go back to Matthew 28. You probably already know the conclusion, so why preach about it? Because it needs to be on the internet, and we need to look at this thing detailed a little bit here this morning. I'm amazed. I stand amazed at the Word of God, but I stand amazed at what He shows us here. And folks, you are more than willing, more than welcome to take that Bible and call me up and say, I don't think so. Show me what you're talking about. Because if I'm wrong on stuff, hey, go for it. We need to know this sort of thing. And like Jerry keeps reminding me, sure is glad that she ain't educated, because this is what you get in education, the Great Commission. Now, I don't know if I dare ask for hands or not here. How many of you up to this point, I mean, don't raise your hand. I mean, are there people here that really believe that the Great Commission is what we are to follow? And if that's where you're at, I can understand totally. I can understand totally, because I used to believe that's what this thing was all about, was the Great Commission, that we got to go out there and start churches and get into community, build a church, and go into foreign country and build a church and get out there and make things happen. But if you look at this thing correctly, rightly divided, very interesting. If we were to go back to Matthew 28, verse 20, and see there where it says, teach all nations to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, right? Right? Well, then that would include foot washing. That would include healing the sick. That would include beanies. That would include raising the dead. That would include preaching to Israel only. That was a powerful statement, huh, Shoni? I didn't know you cared so much about the Jews. I'm excited, you know. I mean, this is not right. I've wasted all my years doing wrong already. Mom and Dad go, yes. But anyway. Slain in the spirit, weren't you? I never had anybody in a sermon just fall on their face in a sermon. You know. Amen. You know. Now, I have fallen on my face a number of times, like this morning. That was, it wasn't a boring trip. Just, you know. Okay, so if we're going to teach all nations to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, that's the teachings of Jesus, then we need to be preaching about keeping the Sabbath. We need to go to that Sermon on the Mount and claim that critter and teach and preach that thing. Is that not what He preached and taught? Okay. What are they doing out there? That's what they're doing. It's like I say about public school. I can't be critical of public school. They're doing the best they can do with what they think. They really think they can do a better job than you parents. I've been there. They really are having a financial struggle so they can pay all these teachers $100,000 a year. That is hard. They do need some new equipment. They do need all this stuff. And so, you know, what they're trying to do, as wrong as it is, I can understand. Modern churches, modern Christianity, all your friends and family, the Faith Baptist crowd, the Trinity Baptist crowd, your Catholics, even the Buddhists are getting into this stuff, you know? They really are, honestly, thinking they're doing right. They really are. Because you can bring into this great commission, and this is what Jesus told us to do. Who did he tell to do this? The apostles. The apostles. Well, then you get into the tongue-speaking crowd, and they think that they are apostles. But then you go back to Revelation chapter 3, or 2, and you find out that the first church that came about after Jesus Christ had died, they figured right off the bat that the crowd that said they were apostles were what? Not. They called them liars from the start. First thing that they discovered was, the first thing that they did was they called the new apostles liars. Why can't we do that today? We should learn. They figured that thing out a long time ago. Okay, let's go to Mark. Let's go back to Mark. You might want to keep your hand in both places. We'll probably go back and forth. I don't know. Mark chapter 16. Now we learned there. Did I make my point about the Old Testament stuff? If you're going to do the Great Commission, go for it. Is that Jesus' command? If that was Jesus' command, teens, we are in a peck of trouble. You do need to get out of the home quickly and get into one of those other churches. Because your mom and dad, grandpa and grandma are wrong. You know? And if I was a teenager with any kind of a brain, which I know is never mind, which is extinct, but I would sit here and go, yeah, you better show me. Because you're right. That is exactly what my friends talk about. That is exactly the kind of churches they go to. And we go to this kind, and if I'm going to go to this kind, I better know that I'm right scripturally, and I'll try to show my friends. So pay attention. We'll keep going here. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. You get somebody saved, amen? Then what should follow them? Their life should change. Now, what is Passion of Christ? What are these movies trying to get people to do? Change their lives. Well, they ought to. Have you had to change your life a little bit? Should you change it some more? Yeah, okay. So what's wrong with that? Nothing, except it says right here, these signs shall follow them. So their lives are going to change. How are they going to change? They're going to change in the fact that they can do these things right here. If the Great Commission is for us today. And that's the case, we need to be able to cast out devils. Some people do that. We need to speak with new tongues. Well, some people do that. Bunny trail. The tongues that people are speaking today is not just a different language as what tongues were. They're actually going googly, boogly, bowtie, shanamotai, all that kind of junk. Like he used to do that kind of stuff. That's what they're coming up with. I mean, they're not even coming up with new tongues in a proper biblical manner. I mean, if I had a guy walk in here this guy all of a sudden understood me in Spanish, I have another one falling on their face in the service. Me. That's what speaking in tongues is. Okay, so regardless of that, and regardless of the fact that Paul says if you are going to speak in tongues, it ain't going to be the women. It's the men that's supposed to do that. Back in Corinthians 1 Corinthians 14, I think it is. So, who's doing all that stuff in the churches? They're just yakking away in these Pentecostal churches. Okay, so ignoring the fact that they're even doing it wrong, at least they're trying to do the new tongue thing. Okay? They should be able to take up serpents. Just thought of something, don't say it, okay? Well, they should be able to drink poison. Marilyn, we've been drinking poison for years, right? Hello, Marilyn, here's your chance. Yes! There we go, thank you. It's called water. Anyway. Well, we drink. Take up a glass of... What is a drinkable poison? What's a... Arsenic? Oh, wow. Okay? And then one that we know is taking place, and there are some folks that drink poison and say they can do it down there in the hills of wherever what kind of stuff goes on still. And then you got the crowd that lays hands on the sick and are healers and healings. And that's taking place. Benny Hinn, you know, all these guys. What's the lady's name? What? I don't know. Any of those people on TV and stuff, they're healing people, so they say. Well, hey, we do know that the devil can heal. And we don't know that the devil can do miracles and the whole bit. So, it's not that it isn't happening. Is it of God? Or is it of a God? Okay, so it's not that these things don't happen. Getting back on the trail here. If this Great Commission were to be true, okay, you've made your point. This Great Commission. Folks, this Great Commission, I don't think you have any idea what sermon is being preached here today. Compared to all the different Baptist churches that know us and know you. Nice people. Oh, nice people. Nice pastors. Good preachers. Real good ones. Some of them are some of the best in the world. Baptist Commission. Aren't you a little hyper? I thought about that. I don't think I'm being hyper. I mean, I can't speak in new tongues. I can't heal anybody. I usually make people sick. I can't drink hardly anything clean without it causing me problems. You know? And I'm not teaching foot washing or beanie wearing or just go to the Jew only. And I just don't have church on Monday night if we could, and Tuesday night, whatever, you know. And Sermon on the Mount. Boy, I've been through that a long time. I don't know. Maybe this is nothing new. I think we're just understanding where we're from. You know, if that Great Commission were to be true, then there would be evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's a Pentecostal thing. You have the evidence of the Holy Spirit? What's the evidence of the Holy Spirit? Speaking in tongues. Verse 17. Then I don't have that. I can't speak in tongues. Well, then I don't think you're saved. And they get mad at us for saying that? You do know that they believe that if you can speak in tongues, that proves that you're saved. And if you can't, you better hurry it up and learn. Because that'll be evidence that you're saved. You know that. That's Great Commission stuff. You know? Okay. There would be this ecumenical experience in God that all these movies are portraying. You want to go to the Passion of the Christ, and experience Christ's sufferings? Well, go right ahead. That's what God would have you to do according to the Great Commission, see? And that's not you know, real. That we'd be teaching the teachings of Jesus. This is where people just go, we follow Jesus through, won't go the wrong way, through Paul. We'll get to that in a minute here. We would only be concerned about the message of God, not the words. Because the message of God is fine. It's the words that cause all the problem. All we would have to be concerned about is you changing your life. Who cares about your soul? That's just so y'all look good, talk good, smell good, and all that kind of stuff, we'd have a happy church. Who cares what's going on underneath, inside? Ask them. Ask one of your family friends who loves their church and they're getting all this stuff going on. Ask them, well, you know, what about your soul? What happens when you get saved? I don't know. You ever heard of spiritual circumcision? No. Is that one of those Touche Baptist church things? No, it's a biblical thing. Can I show you? Nah, we're doing fine. You know? That's where they're at. We would have to accept these movies. We'd probably be showing Left Behind, and we'd show the Passion of the Christ right here. I'd buy it. We'd show it right here. We got the stuff to do it. That's the Great Commission crowd. Well, amen. Isn't that amazing? That's just an amazing thing to me. Probably not to you, but it just amazes me here this morning. Well, let me make a couple comments here. Those preachers and pastors that do support the Great Commission, and they are everywhere. They don't even do it very well themselves. Really. I don't know if you know any churches that's kind of a big deal, or if you know any pastors that they would preach this sort of thing. I mean, I guess if you want to find out, ask somebody at work. Hey, Frank, you ever heard of the Great Commission? Oh, yeah, that's when Jesus told us to go out there and preach and teach everything to all the nations, get them saved, get them baptized, get them in a church. That's probably what you get. I'd like to have you try. I'm kind of curious what kind of response you get. And you'll be sweating because you know what you're going to have to say. Oh, you really think that, huh? Well, what do you think about it? As if they really want to hear. Well, it's not for today. Oh, you nut. I'm so sick and tired of you coming to work with all your new modern Bible stuff. Go back to that touche and shoot the guy. He's leading you down a cultic pathway. Don't you know that? These pastors that these people are going to, they don't even teach the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's all done. We're already clean. They don't know that. They don't teach that. They don't teach the fact that Jews and Gentiles are baptized into one body. So what are they doing? Preaching it. That's not what takes place. Matthew, that isn't what happens. Amen? Who's Jesus here for? Who are the apostles supposed to go out and preach to? Jews. Forget them, Gentiles. He compares the Gentiles to a dog. God loves everyone. Oh, excuse me, not dogs. I can understand that. So what are they doing preaching that anybody can get saved? Jew and Gentile. What are they doing preaching that? That's not even in the Great Commission. See, they're not doing it. They're not even doing a good job themselves, actually. How about the grace of God? Now, most of them don't teach this, but there are some that do. Imputation, justification, sanctification, all the shuns. They do teach those. Some of these Great Commission churches do teach that stuff. But it's not in the Great Commission. What are they doing teaching that? They're just mixed up with the rightly dividing things. I won't be critical and judgmental along those lines. But the point is these people that preach the Great Commission aren't even doing it themselves. Some more examples here. I won't take the Bible, look them up unless you want to. Luke 12, Matthew 19. That's where they tell the apostle guys to get rid of everything they own, give it to all the poor. You know that, right? He told, hey, listen, you're going to go out there, you don't need anything with you, get rid of it, give it to the poor. Boy, that isn't happening in the Great Commission crowd. They're collecting piles and piles of stuff that we just can't get over. Sometimes I still feel guilty having this nice Buick, a car for old people. You know, when you get a Buick, your grave is the next thing, you know, when a Buick shows up in your life. But you know, what's wrong with me having a nice car? Is it against the Scriptures? It is if you're in the Great Commission. So I can pick whatever commission I want to follow. I got the Geo and I got the Buick. You know, if I'm going to visit somebody that thinks I shouldn't have anything, I'll drive up my Geo. If I go to people's homes that are thankful that God's been a blessing to us, I'll come up in the Buick. You know? You know, in Acts chapter 2, 44, 45, and Acts chapter 4, 34, and 35, you know that the apostles actually did get rid of everything they owned? They actually did. Okay, so if you're going to preach the Baptist Commission, the Great Commission, then what are you doing having all this stuff? Get rid of it. Take all that money and give it to the church people. Go downtown and give it to somebody. I'm sorry, I got a nice car. I'm really sorry, folks. I'll trade it off with some Mexican dog. Come up here with a Beanermobile or something. That make you happier? That's the Great Commission. Okay. Matthew chapter 10 tells them not to send their missionaries out with anything. They're supposed to go without provisions. Go out there, God will take care of them. Well, let's see. How long does deputation take? Sometimes 3 to 4 years. You got to come up with the support. Got to come up with the stuff. And are you saying that we shouldn't do that? No, I'm thinking those guys ought to have their stuff. Not all of it. Well, why not all of it? Because I can't have all of mine. Why not? I don't know, come to think of it. I should be able to have a lot of stuff. Hey, all right. Credit card. Buy the stuff. No. Well, the apostles went out with nothing. Missionaries. Missionary comes in here. hey, boy, I tell you, that is, that, I appreciate your presentation, but we're not going to give you an offering because we think you ought to just go out there and live by faith. So, all right, we'll pray for you. We don't do that. We try to. Y'all have been good with missionaries and pastors and stuff. And the bills are still being paid, from what I understand. And you guys helped Thomas and Brother Martin and all these guys, and you're still putting stuff in that box without a whole lot of pressure and guilt and all that stuff. You know? That is an amazing thing. If we're of the Great Commission, which, by the way, a lot of our guys that have been through here, they're of the Great Commission mentality. They really are. You being critical of them? No, I'm being critical of the Great Commission here. You'll see why. You'll see why tonight for sure. How about this? You're supposed to go to the synagogues on the Sabbath, offer sacrifices of the ceremonial law. Mark chapter 1, Matthew chapter 5. We don't do that, but they did that. Even in those days, you can get your sins remitted. They could do that. Acts chapter 2, 38. Get yourself dumped and get remission of your sins. You can do that. We don't do that today, except the Catholics and Lutherans. Now, you still with me here? You getting my gist? The Great Commission is a bunch of baloney. It is. It's actually a bunch of baloney. Habba habba ha, as Jackie Gleason would say, habba 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 habba. No, that's true. The Great Commission ends right around Acts chapter 7. And the declaration of the whole thing is in Romans chapter 11. Because all this commission was, listen, you apostles, you go out there to all the nations. I have no problem. I'm not saying that the Bible and preaching, et cetera, go to all the nations. I have no problem with that. The problem is, they were supposed to go to who first? Jews. And then from that point on, it was going to expand. Well, what happens in Acts chapter 7? Guy gets stoned to death. Lord stands up. I'm ready to come. Ooh, they killed him. Oh. Whoa. Okay. I got to get to this guy named Saul. Rotten guy that he is. Get this guy saved. I'll give him an experience he'll never forget. And I'll get him killed. I come up here and I'll tell him what he needs to do, because I'm gonna give him the whole thing. Lock, stock, and barrel. All they got to do is accept it. And that's it. Paul, come here. Gets Paul on this thing. He says, listen, plan A is not working. Because how many plans has God been through? He's been through a bunch. Plan A, Adam and Eve. That didn't work. Plan B, Abraham. Plan C, get on a boat. Plan D, Moses. Plan E, Jesus Christ. Plan F, I mean, man. You know, okay, Paul, it didn't work. The Jews don't want to hear it. My own people don't want to hear it. My own people don't want to hear it. I would be grieved. Do your own people want to hear it? Even your own people don't want to hear it. Plan B. Plan F or G, whatever. Romans 2, verse 16. Go to Romans 2. Now you'll see where this is coming. Now you won't see it. Now here we go. Guilt and pressure. I apologize for it. If you don't come back tonight, you won't see how this may be too long of a message on the Great Commission, how it applies to us tonight. Now I know Bill's got to work, so I'll give him off the hook. But Brenda can teach him, can show him. I'll give you the tapes and the whole thing. Sorry. And we need to know where we're at as a church family. If there's ever been a church family message, it's the one for tonight. I don't know what you got to do to get back tonight. And he lucks out and gets the tape, but I don't encourage the tape thing, because I've been known to botch a few and all that. I want you to see Romans chapter 2, verse 16. Just a couple quick verses here. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Paul had his own gospel? Whoa, that sounds pretty weird to me. Paul had his own gospel. Is that anything like Paulson's gospel? Or maybe Bert's got a gospel. Or Jimmy. Jimmy's own gospel. Let's go with Jimmy's gospel. Chuck, he's probably got his own gospel. Well, Louis, you got your own gospel? I got to go through everybody. L.D., Carl, I mean, Bill, everybody, you know, you guys got your own gospel? Well, let me kill you and see if you come back, because that'll be the one I'll follow. That's what happened to Paul. Died, went up to see the Lord, came back. It's his gospel now. It's different than 11 other guises. How do you spell guises? I guess G-U-Y apostrophe S. You know, it's different. It's different. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll tell you what, that heater, that is a weird thing. It's either cold or it's hot. Whatever. Not complaining, mind you. Just whining. If I'm cold, you must be freezing down there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But if you're paying attention, you don't care. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, He was seen of 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part, blah, blah, blah. There it goes. There's the gospel. Amen. Right? Yeah. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now, I would think that some of you older folks would just not want to die for a while, because this has been really interesting the last few years, how God's been showing us through some things. I mean, getting to heaven ought to be an exciting thing, but don't be in a hurry. Hang around and see what God's going to do with this little crowd. You know what? Maybe He's not going to do anything. Maybe He's just going to feed us. Oh, I don't know. I bet you there's still somebody else you'd like to feed, amen? You ever been to a good restaurant? I mean, a really good one? Don't you try to get somebody else to go to it? Hey, when you go to Multnomah Falls, I don't recommend the prime rib. It's real peppery. And their salad is just a bunch of leaves off the trees and back. It was. It even had the stems on them and everything. I just, you know? You eat this leaf and you got a stem stuck in your teeth. It's just, and you got a stem sticking out. It's a weird thing. It had to be out of their backyard. But if you've ever been to a restaurant you really liked, you try to get people to go to that thing. You know? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and uttermost parts of the earth. See, there it is. Yeah, there's the Great Commission. But it breaks down the first one right there. What's the first one there? Unto where? Jerusalem. And that's where it died, right there. Amen? It died. It's done. It's kaput. Paul has to come along with his gospel. Well, look at one more thing here, maybe one more thing. Matthew chapter 24. So is the great commission over and done with? Has it been put in a basement forever? It's just like the Sermon on the Mount. Is it done with? Is it kaput? Is it just all history and erased from the books? No, it's going from here all of a sudden. Millennium, right? Amen. Well, it makes sense. Then the Great Commission. That's a new sign we got here. That could be our Touche Baptist Church greeting. How you doing, Louis? Our secret greeting. Oh, what's that? Well, that means the Old Testament, the Gospel, stops here, goes to the millennium. We live right in here. Oh. You know? See Jimmy fighting the fire. How you doing, Jimmy? And he's doing fine. We don't need any special caller. We can do it ourselves. How you doing? Let's try it together, Jerry. Come on. Ready? I wish they had this thing on video, because some, you know, you got to have to know Jerry. Ready? Got to do it together.
I do.
All right. Yeah. For those of you on web, in the web world out there, clap your hands, take your right hand, swing it high, arc it over to the left, and that shows, you know, whatever. Because we're living in the age of grace right here. Matthew 24:14. Just so we know. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations. That's true. But there's a break. We know that. Because look what comes next. And then shall the end come. You know what comes after this? Right here? That's the end. An all brand new beginning. So I guess we can extend this thing, you know? Come on, Sue. You know? Because after that, Great Commission is going to come back again, the millennial thing, and they're going to be doing it again. And then, shall the end come? I don't understand. I guess I do. But I guess I could say it's beyond me why these educated people don't see that. Why these pastors, nice pastors that they are, I know some of them personally, I know some of them quite well. You know what they're trying to do? And I know they mean well. They're trying to build a church. They go into a little community. Let's get a church going. And then they'll come. Well, that's all right if that's what God would have us do. We're lucky. We're fortunate. We're blessed. Beyond most Bible-believing, King James-only, uneducated, ugly pastor-preacher guy, that we have such a nice facility. They just don't have this kind of a facility. And I still believe we need to do something with it as long as we got one. We ought to have a conference or something. We ought to have printing. We ought to do... Well, we're just going to put a family now around here for a little while. But we ought to be able to do something with this facility instead of just enjoy it ourselves. It doesn't seem to be pulling people in, does it? I like this kind of old building myself. It's kind of an attraction to me. But I know there's some other old buildings out there. I'm not going to go to them just because they have an old building. See what I'm saying? Then it looks to me like our commission isn't to go out and build a church. Oh, if anybody was still listening on the website, I probably lost them right there. Then you don't want me to go to El Salvador and or where?
Honduras.
And build me a big church building? Nah. Just go out there and win them to the Lord. You know what God will give them? He'll give them a church building. There was one article in there that said, I think I told you that, that said, win them to the Lord with your building. That's in a Baptist publication. Well, we got to finish this up for tonight. That is part one. Part one. And I'll just leave it there. I guess there's kind of a conclusion here. We'll just save it for save that. We'll save that. We'll save that. We'll even save that, and we'll even save that. You know. What is the Greater Commission? What is God's command for us? That's where we're at for tonight. What would God have? What is the purpose of this church anyway? What are we supposed to do here? What is this for? Why does this place exist? If the Great Commission is no longer in effect, then why do we have this place? Maybe we don't need it. Oh, we need it. Don't leave. If you can't make it back tonight, don't be thinking, oh, is Pastor about ready to get rid of the building? No. That is not the point. Trying to get rid of this local church and just go out there and witness and get a job and do stuff. Well, if God would have that be done, yeah, but I haven't had to. You're a real blessing. So what's our purpose? Can you tell somebody why they should come here? If what they're following out there isn't legit, isn't scriptural, then why do we have one? Where is our emphasis? Is our emphasis on this church? Let me ask you this and then we'll dismiss. What do you try to get people to do? Did you try to get them into the book? Did you try to get them to come to church? Did you try to get them saved? Did you try to get them to live like you're living? Did you try to get them to dress like you're dressing? What did you try to get them to do? Well, shouldn't we try to get them to come to church here? Oh, I'd like to see him come. We almost had a blessing this morning. Would have been fine with me. I wouldn't have been complaining. Amen? I wouldn't have complained. But is that how God wants it done? Does he mean he doesn't want it done this way? No, I didn't say that. I said, but is that the emphasis? If people go to their church because of their church, they're going to think we come to church here because of the church. And when they come and see this church, they don't want to come here because of this church. So why does God give us this church? Who is this church really for? It's an amazing thing. I hope it changes your concept of what we are. And who we are, and why we are here tonight. I hope and pray that I debunked the Great Commission this morning. Maybe I didn't need to debunk it because you probably didn't know about it. But I'll tell you what, it's a biggie. The Great Commission is a big deal. It's a big deal. It's everywhere. It's in schools. It's in Bible institutes. It's in colleges. It's in Bible colleges. It's passed on from church to church to church. Get you a little concerned this morning? Is your pastor guy going dingoes again? Do you see it this morning? Honestly, do you see that the Great Commission cannot be followed today? It can't be. Nor is it supposed to be. Than what is. I call it the Greater Commission. And yes, we are supposed to be here. But I'll tell you why tonight. And I just pray you can fit your schedule. You cannot do something. I don't know. This is a family message tonight. Let's stand. The only invitation I have for you is for you to ask the Lord, what would you have me do with him? The book is in trouble in this country, but it's not in trouble with you. Hopefully your family's not in big trouble. And we're learning about the church, the local church. I guess my biggest concern right now for a little mini invitation here is, how are you doing with the Lord? If the last thing he's doing is knocking on the heart of us Christians seeking fellowship, how are you doing with you and him? I'm not talking about you and your parents. I'm not talking about you and your pastor. I'm not talking about you and your friends and your church buddies and all that stuff. You and the Lord. And we learned the last couple weeks that fellowshipping with the Lord is reading your Bible, praying and talking with him, and going to church. That local church is part of his fellowship. And just about all of you are just, you come as often as you possibly can. Is that a blessing to me? Yeah, but I bet you it's a real blessing to the Lord. And hope you come back tonight to hear what he has to say to you about our little church family. What are we to do? Gary, do you mind dismissing us in prayer and just praying?
Dear Heavenly Father, we just praise and thank you, Father, for prayers answered in the last few weeks, Father. Thank you for that. Father, I do pray that you'd accept our thanks for the prayers that you are going to answer, Father. I just thank you for that. Father, I do pray you be with us. We do seem to pick fights here, Father, and on the things we stand on. Father, the things we stand on are truth from your book, and I pray that somehow you'd be in it, Father, and give us the strength and courage to carry these things through, Father. Again, Father, I just ask that you keep guiding each and every one of us, especially the men, Father, in this church, Father, that you would guide us and Father, what we need to be and what we need to do here. I thank you so much again, Father. I can't say it enough for the prayers that you've answered. And I just ask, Father, that you keep showing us, keep blessing us. And I do pray, Father, for tonight, Father, we wouldn't let anything stand in the way from coming here. A family message, Father, because this is our family. I just ask that you bless, Father. Again, Father, I thank you for all you do for us. I pray that the service this morning, Father, was pleasing to you, and the praying and the singing was pleasing to you. And again, Father, I just ask that your guidance, you'd enlighten us, Father, to see what you'd have us see. Jesus' precious name.
If you all want to bring, I mean, it's a last minute thing, but if you want to bring a chip or something, if you can bring some snacks, if you want to stick around, I'll heat the back room tonight. Maybe get us a ping pong table, I don't know. Just talk. Get up with jigsaw puzzles, I don't know. And just talk and yak and stick around tonight. So if you can bring something, feel free to. If you can't, don't stay home because you can't.